Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome everyone to today's broadcast. This is episode 70 and you're listening to These Be Perilous Times. We seek to understand not only the signs of the times, but what's actually most important is how we must respond to the things which are soon and even now taking place. I'm Pastor Andre here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley, and we'd like to invite you to study with us this morning. If you're listening live, just know that you're connected with us, almost like you're in studio with us. Make sure that you also have a Bible with you and a pen and paper ready to delve into today's word. Before we get started, Rabbi, would you open us up with a word of prayer to just really set the tone and atmosphere for today and our study? Rabbi?
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Father, this is your day. This is the day that you've made, and you've given us a mandate. You've given us a responsibility to rejoice and also be glad in it, in this day. That means no matter what comes our way, no matter what the devil has divinely desired for us in a diabolical way, that you have given us the ability, you've given us the way of escape, you have given us the anointing, you've given us your spirit, you've given us your son, you've given us the opportunity and the understanding that we are overcomers. You've given us the formula, the recipe to overcome all of the wiles of the devil. So in that, and because of that, Father, I respond in kind. We respond in kind by, first of all, washing ourselves, cleansing ourselves, giving us a spiritual hygiene before we start our day. We ask forgiveness for sin, for iniquity, for transgression. We choose, Father. We choose you. We choose life. We choose the word of Yahushua. And we choose to forgive those who have sinned against us, caused iniquity and transgression against us as well, in the hope that they also will choose life, that they will choose you, and that they will change any wickedness and any wicked ways that are in them. Father, we thank you for the blessing, the covering, and the blood of Yeshua that protects and keeps even our forefathers' sins, iniquities, and transgression that affects us on both sides of our lineage, third and the fourth generation. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for what it means and how it is applied in our lives. So we walk new. We walk refreshed. We deal with the old man. We deal with the fleshly desires. We deal with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of this life, this world. We deal with that, so that you and we can have the intimacy that you promised, the relationship that you promised, that spiritual walk and talking together, communing together, that you promised, that you desire, and that we also desire each day. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen and amen. And I'll pass it right back to you, Pastor Andre, and we will allow Yah to be Yah. Amen.
Amen. At this time, we're going to go ahead and open up with our before Torah study blessing with Pastor Doug.
Baruch atah Yahuwah, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kishanu b'mitzvotav, itzanu la'asot b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahuwah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen. Well, folks, thank you for joining us again this morning. If you remember last week, we had been talking about training through the trials, and then we began to discuss promises to get you through the difficult times. Before we got into some of those promises, we needed to discuss just some of the patterns of what happens, how the enemy tries to preempt or be the counterpunch at times. or the one that gives the punch that goes ahead to try to get out of order and to preempt what God is doing, because he tries to be like God, but he always falls short. But what I wanted to show you, again, going back, we talked about Job, and we talked about how the enemy was trying to test Job's faith. And God saw who Job was in it, but wouldn't allow him to touch his life. But the enemy tried to touch what he had. And we see that even in doing so, Job, one of the things that we can mark from his life is that he immediately worshiped God, even after he had heard all that had tried to come upon him. And that's a pattern that we need to make sure that we keep in order to have the mountain-moving faith that we need to preserve, is to always keep our perspective and worship the Almighty no matter what happens. But one of the promises that we did discuss, I want to jump to Isaiah 41:10-13. It says, "To fear not, there's nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties." This isn't coming from the Amplified. But he's saying, and since we can look at it, saying the difficulties are a part of our strengthening and our hardening to them. It's part of our building of the relationship. He's fortifying us, and that's one of the tools, one of the purposes for difficult times. And it's sometimes a lot easier to go through something knowing what the end result or the purpose of it is, or one of the things, or one of the fruits that you can harvest from that difficulty or that hard time. We also talked about how in the example of Yeshua, when he was in the boat with his disciples in Mark chapter 4 and 5, the enemy was trying to come at his disciples to steal their faith for what they were about to go through and experience. They're on the boat and they had the storm. And of course they said, "Master, don't you see we're perishing?" And it was like a hurricane force winds. It's what we can basically gather from the description here. But it was basically saying, "Where's your faith?" This hard time was meant to build your faith. The enemy wants to destroy your faith, but the hard times, I want to use the hard times to build your faith. Because right after that situation was when they needed the faith, when they had the man coming at them with the unclean spirit. And so you get a perspective of what the enemy tries to do with hard times, but what God wants to do. And here we have another scripture from Isaiah 43:2-4. And in this, we get a picture of one of the most important things that we have to understand in difficult times, and that is who we are, and more importantly, what our value is to the Father. And again, that's who we are. We have to understand who we really are and what our value is to the Father. It starts off with verse 2 saying this, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned or scorched, nor will the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt to the Babylonians for your ransom, Ethiopia, and Seba, a province of Ethiopia, in exchange for your release. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and because I love you, I will give men in return for you and peoples in exchange for your life." The enemy wants to get us to, one, devalue who we are. And if we don't know who we are, and more importantly, if we don't know who our Father is, who our Yah is, he begins to execute his plan to delegitimize our value. And if he can delegitimize our value, he can get us to act accordingly. It just reminds me even what the scripture says so clearly in first chapter of Romans and other places, where God gave people over to their depraved desires. And once they began to devalue themselves, then they're acting accordingly. I just want to continue to build that picture, that if we begin to treat ourselves like children of the Most High, like princes and kings, like royalty, then we should act royalty, like royalty. If we are wanting to act with faith, then we need to believe with faith. We need to become and act as we are called to be, to proclaim those things which are true, those promises which God has for us. We need to proclaim them so that we can walk in them and act like them, to act accordingly. And so some of the key points here, and I'll just recap real quick just in the synopsis and summary here. But we need to make sure that we don't allow the enemy to preempt God and to destroy what God is trying to do in and through us. We need to make sure that we guard our faith so that we can maintain the mountain-moving faith that's needed. And we have to understand that sometimes mountains are put in our path, but it's not the mountain that's supposed to overcome. God wants to overcome with us and through us. So we have to allow him to do so. We need to worship the Almighty in every situation, to not fear, but allow our circumstances to make us the best of us, to make us the best men and women of God. Because he values us, and he's willing to exchange others for our sake. So if he sees us as that, we need to act accordingly as to what he has called us to be. Rabbi, I'll pass it back to you.
Amen, amen. And in doing so, in acting accordingly, we need to understand, like what was already stated. And we'll go to James chapter 1. We've read it before, but James chapter 1, maybe 1 through 4. We need to understand the joy of the Lord is our strength, all joy. In other words, when trials and temptations try to come to derail us, to try to cause calamity and anything spiritual and fatal to our lives and to the lives of our loved ones, we have to understand that that is the same temptation that has come to try to cause us to fail. Is the same temptation, the same trial, this exact same test that God uses to bless us, to promote us, to strengthen us, and to build us up. So the joy is not in the test. The joy is not in the trial. The joy is definitely not in the temptation. The joy is in the fact that you and I are becoming overcomers. And that's what I want us to begin to talk about today. And if you'd read that for us, Pastor Andre, in James chapter 1, going from verse 1 to about verse 4 or 5.
Alrighty here. So James, this is from King James. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now for the Amplified. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad among the Gentiles in the dispersion, greetings and rejoice. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed, with no defects, lacking in nothing. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproach or fault-finding, and it may be given him. Excuse me, it will be given him.
Amen, amen. So what we see here is both in the natural and especially in the spiritual. This is how we are strengthened. This is how we're built up. We're built up through those tests, trials, and temptations. So with that being said, that's how Yeshua, if Yeshua was built up that way, then we also need to be built up that way. We know in Matthew chapter 4, we went through this many other broadcasts and many other times before. I looked at it from different vantage points and different aspects. And even in this particular aspect, the Holy Spirit drove him to the test. He drove him to the temptation. He made sure that he went directly in the middle of the trial. in order to build his joy, to build his faith, so that he would be an overcomer, so that his fruit, because this is how great fruit is manifest, not only in the spiritual, but in the natural. In the natural, herbs and different types of vegetables that have to go through a major struggle of the elements, of the insects and things of that nature, they produce their own weapon, if you will, a type of poison to protect the fruit, to protect the antioxidants, to protect the nourishment and the fiber and everything pertaining to that fruit. So the greater the elements trying to, you know, as far as the weather and things like that, the more potent the actual fruit is for us, the believer and the natural person, that helps us in the natural. Nutritionists know these things. Well, even the more spiritually, it works that way. That's why James can say what he said. That's why he can say to count it all joy. Because what's happening is God is doing that. Yah is counting it as a victory of joy, a building up of your inner man. That's what the fruit is designed for in our lives. Let's read just a little bit of Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through about maybe 2. And we'll see that that is the very plan that the Holy Spirit had, was to quickly present Yeshua to the devil at his lowest point. When Jesus was at his lowest physical, mental, and spiritual point, that's when the Holy Spirit thrusted him into the test, trial, and temptation. That is so interesting. That is so intriguing, because we think that when we look at the fruits on the tree, that they don't have, you know, any type of hindrances to their growth, but they do. And when that happens, it causes them to be even sweeter, even more nourishing. And Yeshua, after this wilderness experience, became the most nourished, providing individual on the planet. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, both in the King James and the Amplified. Pastor Arthur.
All right. Yes, starting with verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Amplified. Then Jesus was led, guided by the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness or the desert to be tempted, tested, and tried by the devil. And he went without food for 40 days and 40 nights, and later he became hungry.
So you see here, we are oftentimes not taught this very concept, that the fruit of the Spirit that's found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, they are cultivated, they're grown, and they mature through tests, trials, and temptations. Through the very tests, the trials, and the temptations that we go through, that helps to cultivate, that helps to build up our most holy faith, our relationship. It matures us from well-pleasing to perfect. See, because the adversary went after Yeshua, after Jesus. He went after him shortly after the mandate was given to him by his Heavenly Father. Verse 17 of chapter 3 of Matthew, the Heavenly Father gives him a mandate, expresses his identity and his purpose. And then that's exactly what the adversary goes after before Yeshua can begin walking in that mandate. He does the same thing to you and I. So when we think about this particular show and the scripture pertaining to the show, and we use the term, these be perilous times, we should also understand that it also means these be joyous, strengthening, overcoming times.
That's good.
Because it's synonymous. It is synonymous. And we miss that. We're not readily taught that so that we can understand that we need to do as the eagle does in the storm. He embraces the storm. He doesn't run away from the storm like all of the other animals do. All of the other animals, they hightail it. They leave. But the eagle is the only animal that not only embraces the storm, he begins to go headlong into the storm. We are to be like the eagle. That is one of the things that Paul was mentioning and talking about when he understood pertaining to the thorn in the flesh that he had in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 9, and just go to the end of his thought, because in verse 9, I believe, is where he begins to discuss and talk about the whole situation. And verse 9 is where the Father speaks to him and just gives him the insight and says, my grace is sufficient for you in your weakness. And then at the end of that, or right in that contextual aspect of that passage, Paul gets a paradigm shift. And he begins to realize, hey, so then I will boast in my weakness. Mm-hmm. I will boast in the situations that happen to me that I must trust God. To be an overcomer, I must have a situation where I never say, I got this. Because saying I got this means I don't need you. Can you imagine saying to God, I don't need you?
Hmm.
Benching God and putting yourself in the star role in order to win the championship. When you have him there, he wrote the script, he created everything, and not just the game that you're playing. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and that other passage within that, in the latter verses of that. If you'll read that both in the King James and the Amplified. That's right.
Absolutely. Starting with verse 9 here. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now for the Amplified. But he said unto me, my grace, my favor, and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you, sufficient against any danger, and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. For my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled, and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weaknesses and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ the Messiah may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. So for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecutions, perplexities, and distresses. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am truly strong, able, powerful in divine strength.
Wow. Your thoughts on that one, Pastor Andre.
Wow. That was profound. And wow. So starting just with the simple fact, what you were talking about with the plants and how they are most nutritional, most beneficial if they have experienced some form of pressure or stress from their circumstances. And here we see the epitome of that with Paul. And I've seen this before, and it's like, okay, when I'm weak, you're strong. But this one, today, reading both versions really illuminates the purpose of what God is desiring. And it's not so much that we have to, I think sometimes we have a picture like we have to be humiliated in order for God to be strong. And I don't think that's necessarily the correct way to look at it. But when we completely empty ourselves of our own strength in doing things in our own understanding, like it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, not going in our own strength, but allowing him to be most effective. That's how it says, I am most effective when I am able to overcome your weaknesses, overcome what you're not able to do, when I'm able to demonstrate through you my power when you yourself couldn't do something. It was just extremely profound. There's one other verse that really got me. He says, I more gladly than in my weakness and infirmities that I gladly glory in them, that the strength and power of Christ may rest upon me, yes, pitch a tent over me. And then it goes right into what we've been talking about in verse 10. Taking pleasures in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecutions, and perplexities. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am truly able, strong, able, powerful in divine strength. That is profound, Rabbi. Absolutely profound.
Amen and amen. And I tell you never would have understood how all these perplexed, significant emotional events can bring forth so much joy. But it's not the joy that the world gives, It's the joy that God gives. It's the supernatural exuberance and the peace, the shalom, nothing broken, nothing missing, that he brings to bear. And it goes hand in hand with us making sure that each morning we crucify the flesh. Because in crucifying the flesh, what are we doing? We're emptying ourselves.
That's good.
We empty ourselves of ourselves so that he can fill us full of this joy and this peace. There's no room at the end if we don't empty ourselves. There's literally no room. There's no way that the Holy Spirit can come in there and do his wonderful work for us each and every day if we don't empty ourselves, if we don't make a quality decision to not do it our own way, to not try to figure it out ourselves, but to literally ask him, will to ask him, what is his will? Spiritually, to close our eyes to any thoughts and desires to do a thing or to act on a thing if it doesn't come in agreement with the Father, if it doesn't come in an agreement with Yeshua even says, and this is one that I have to live daily. I have to really deal with myself daily. Because Yeshua speaks and he says, if you love me, the requirements for saying that you truly love me is that you will do my commandments.
Mm.
So words do not validate my love for him. Action validates my words and his love that I have for him. It's all about validation. But that validation is based upon the definition that the Father has and that the Son has for what true love is. True love is fulfilling the commandments of God. True love is fulfilling the commandments of Yeshua. He says, if you love me, then you will follow and do, embrace, commit to, and cause it to be the most important, my commandment. So that means that I personally can take inventory to see how much I love God and how much I love Yeshua. It's all based upon what I do, never what I say, or even how I say it. I can say something with great fervor and great passion, but if I turn at the second moment after I've stated a fact of God and choose not to do it, then my love is at best very weak. At worst, I prove that I hate God and that I hate Yeshua. Now those are harsh realities, but they're realities that we are going to have to manifest and live on a daily basis. We are caught in the middle of these realities, and our circumstances and our consequences and our cause and effect are all centered around our blessing and cursing, are all centered around the choices that we make, the actions that we take. You're called, I am called, to be an overcomer. When it says to overcome, it literally is saying to me, you know, it is saying to me that I must overcome evil, not with words. Now, I know that's a harsh statement because, you know, in Christendom, words are how God created the universe. Yeah, I get that. I understand that. But what we don't understand is what is preached and talked about in 1 John chapter 5. And if you would, sir, please go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Okay.
Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. For Amplified,
see, now we'll take that. We'll take that word faith, and we'll, yeah, I'm going to want you to do the Amplified, but I need to say this. We'll take that word faith, and correlate that word faith based upon the way we've been taught in Christendom, and that is, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we'll say, oh, all I have to do is speak the word. No, the word has to abide in you. Then you speak the word. I'm going to say that again. The word has to abide in you. Yeshua said, if my words abide in you and you abide in it, then after that, you can ask whatever you will and I will do it for you.
That's good.
Okay? So, go ahead and read the Amplified, sir.
Sure. For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith.
So, we have to be overcomers. I pray that you all are beginning to receive that and understand that and realize that. Romans chapter 12, verse 21, we've went over this before, but we need to do it again because this is the formula. This is the formula. See, because right now, in perilous times, because of the perilous times, God's calling us to have his victory and to be overcomers. He's causing for the greatest amount of joy and peace to come upon the bride of Christ in the last day. That's why so much turmoil, chaos, and diabolical scheme in the last days. Because this is the greatest time to become overcomers. Romans chapter 12, verse 21, both in the King James and the Amplified. Go ahead, sir. Are you there, sir?
Oh, sorry. It was still muted. Do not overcome evil. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And then verse 21 in Amplified says, do not let yourself be overcome by evil, but overcome, master evil with good.
And the good that they're talking about and they're discussing there is your actions that are approved by God. Your actions that are approved by Yeshua. The commands that are approved by God. The commands that are approved by Yeshua. If you never said another word, if you just continued to do what you were supposed to do, then in doing that, the anointing of God, the blessings of God, the angelic host would be able to protect you and build you and keep you. That's what happened with Job. Job learned how to intercede for his family, and he did it daily. Those sacrifices that he gave were just no different, but different than the true sacrifice that God wants you and I each and every morning to do. Our sacrifices are through the blood of Yeshua. His sacrifices were through the blood of animals. And he did them daily. He crucified the flesh and the spiritual understanding daily. And the adversary could not touch him or his family, could not touch his stuff, could not do anything but watch him prosper. So how much more when we use the proper sacrifice for you and I, how much more in this time of great turmoil, if we begin to press in, but not press in empty-handed, press in with the true sacrifice, how much more would we overcome? How much more would we be cleansed, be purified? Our mind, will, and emotions being washed, cleansed, and perfected. That's the call on our life. That's the call. Pastor Andre, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is time. I love what you started this section talking about with the word must first abide in us so we can speak it. But then also this aspect of us now having the ability to have the greatest peace, the greatest amount of joy, is it makes sense. And I feel like what's happening across the board is the enemy is really still trying to pull that plan that we talked about earlier where he tries to delegitimize and demoralize us so that we don't have the perspective of the peace and joy and so that we don't realize that the best things we've ever seen in our lifetime is about to happen through us and in us and around us according to the spiritual principles that God has set forth. God is saying that when there is pressure and stress and persecution, that produces the biggest effect. When you feel the most powerless and the weakest, that is when I'm able to be the strongest and to have my glory manifested in ways that has not yet been seen. And if the enemy can get our eyes and perspective off of the reality of where we are, that is his first step to preventing us from overcoming him and overcoming the tricks that he has tempted us with. Because going back to something we studied a long time ago, we are the real enemy at times. We have to get past the snares and the traps that have been set within inside of us, our ways of thinking, our flesh, We have to overcome that first. And so we're in that process. We're working on the personal level of things. But now we have to have those actions approved of God to overcome the enemy and allow. I love how it said in Amplified, that verse 21, it says to overcome, to master evil with good. Now, instead of just saying good, we'll say the approved actions of God. And so we're definitely at this time now where we have to have the right perspective, the right understanding of our value, as we talked about earlier, and understanding the reality of the hope that we have in this very moment as we see things becoming more and more of a strain or a pressure, then we ought to look for and expect God's miraculous wonder-working power in, around, and through us. So now is the time for us to see those things.
Amen and amen. I totally concur with that. Let's go to Romans chapter 2, verse 26. And we'll just look at some of the promises, because we were talking about the promises. Some of the promises that Yeshua said that he would be giving to those who are overcomers.
So Romans chapter 2?
Yes, in verse 26.
Okay. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted
Revelation.
For circumcision? Oh, I'm sorry. Romans. Okay, that's Romans.
Yeah.
Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And in Amplified, and he who overcomes, who is victorious, and who obeys my command to the very end, doing the works that please me, I will give him authority and power over the nations.
Wow. He gives you the definition of what overcoming is, and that is doing his will, his command. And the rewards of what he's going to give you, Pastor Andre. I mean, my goodness. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. Let's look at that one.
That's good. 3, verse 12. Him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And for the Amplified, he who overcomes is victorious. I will make him a pillar in the sanctuary of my God. He shall never be put out of it or go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which descends from my God out of heaven, and my own new name.
When you begin to look at this and begin to get a better understanding of it, hopefully it begins to give you an idea that you have to go through something. You're having to deal with the persecution. You're having to deal with the attacks of the enemy. But that's what's going to purge, cleanse, and purify you and I. That's the qualifier. So if we know that going in, if we know that going into the battle, Pastor Andre, doesn't that give us some type of comfort knowing that if we persevere through the test, through the trial, then the reward is waiting for us?
Yes. Hope comes in. I'm sorry, I got a little excited there. This is where hope comes in. This is what, you know, we see the apostles and others talking about, you know, that hope that they understood. Hope does not disappoint. These are the things that they're talking about, these promises. And it's like when you're going through and you're told where to put your feet so that you don't step into a trap, you have a little bit more confidence. You have more confidence. It's not a little bit. You have more confidence. You're able to go in saying, this is what I expected. But I know that because I've expected this, then I know what I'm about to get on the other side. It makes it so much more worthwhile to eat your vegetables that you don't like if you know you're going to get $1 million at the end. It just changes the whole way of thinking, of going through it. And you've helped me even today listening to this. I'm saying, okay, these challenges, these little annoyances, and some of them get more intensified as time goes on. But we're realizing, wait a second, if I pass this test, I get to have my dessert.
Amen.
And that makes it all worthwhile.
It does. And the dessert, and you know what's awesome about the dessert that you're talking about? It's for eternity. You know,
yes.
One thing I hate about dessert is when it ends. I hate that because it's like, oh, man. You know, but this dessert never ended. When he says, you know, 7 days he worked and then on the seventh day he rested, that's an eternal day of rest. That's not okay, 24 hours, it's gone, it's over. No. He's talking about a forever time period where it will never end. And if that doesn't get you motivated, if that doesn't get you excited, then you really don't understand what we're talking about. You don't really grasp the full concept and know that this is what he has, this is the provision that he's provided for you and I. You know? So when Colossians chapter 3 talks about focusing our minds and our hearts on things above, this is a part of those things above. This is a part of the things that we can look forward to. So we've got to have vision. We've got to have spiritual insight. And that comes from not just reading his word, not just professing his word. Yes, those things are important, only so that it gets within you and I and we begin to act. Activate his work, because it's the activation process that brings forth the blessing, that brings forth the manifestation. But those other concepts are part of the process. So it's not that it's not good for us or that it doesn't work, but it starts the process working. We are a part and living a part of the process of God's promises to us and his purpose for us and who and what he's called and what he can see us becoming. He already sees what we've become before we've even gone. But we've got to live through it. We've got to walk it out so that it can truly materialize itself. Jesus knew that he was going to be the Savior of the world. But that doesn't negate him coming to this world and going through all the pain, all the struggle, all the heartache in order to fulfill that word that was spoken. So we need to understand that it, with great victory, there's great persecution. And we are headed in that direction. It's being imposed upon us even now. But we need to look, like it says in Psalms 15 and Psalms 24, yeah. Where will my help come from? It says, I look to the hills, but where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. So I don't look up at the hills to help me. I look up past the hills. I look up because I'm looking up into heaven. I look up because I know that he is the creator of the universe and he is my papa. He is my father. I look up because I'm his offspring and I know that he will never leave me or forsake me, that he will be there with me and for me. I have my hands raised to him, no different than of a child when it needs its parents. It raises its hands, not out of desperation, but just out of knowing that they're going to pick that person up. They're going to love on them. They're going to protect them. They're going to do all those different things.
Excuse me.
All in that action. All in that one moment. All in that embracing and picking that child up. A child can experience all of those knowing that they are truly loved. So if you're listening to the broadcast, know that you're truly loved. But I know that I'm truly loved by going through the action, not by just saying, oh, I'm truly loved. No, no, no. A Hebraic action. Different than a Christian feeling, it's a Hebraic action. The action is what brings forth the manifestation. It's so important that we understand that. It's so important that we grasp those concepts and know that those concepts are what he's created. Pastor Andrew, your thoughts before we close this particular session.
I think that's that last statement you had was really beautiful as far as know that you're truly loved. And one thing that we can also know is that when we act with Hebraic action, rather than, as you said, Christian feeling, our God, our Father, will act so much quicker. And that's one of the things that he's moved by. He's looking for, he wants to see those, that love language that he responds to is the acts of service, in a sense, and that showing of the love, that quality aspect of stepping into obedience with love. And he moves quickly. And so it's something we can be rest assured about. One thing I would say as far as this whole study today is if we know what we're expecting from Yah, and as far as what we're also expecting with the situations around us, it makes it so much easier to go through them, and it makes the promises that he gives us so much sweeter when we have that understanding. And he wants us to know. He wants us to know. We must be overcomers and to walk in his victory and to have those corresponding action that causes him and causes his heart to be moved. So everyone listening today, I hope that there are several. So I hope that you have at least a handful of notes, a handful of thoughts that you can go back and just really meditate on to apply to yourself. One of the scriptures we read earlier today, which is very applicable, is if anyone lacks wisdom, ask, and we know that the Father will generously give to him without partiality. He gives wisdom. So the next step of wisdom is to take what you've learned and apply it. Ask the Father to show you how to apply it so that we can walk in these truths and experience the promises that he has laid forth. So thank you again for joining us today with these Be Perilous Times. We're glad that you've taken time to even listen, to allow seeds to be planted. And we pray that Yah bring the water that's necessary to bear the fruit in your lives. We encourage you to study these things as Bereans and to see if these things are true. And as a reminder, it's not just seeing if they're true, because people can say, yep, that's true. But then it's the application, it's the walk out, it's the corresponding action that needs to take place afterwards. This is a broadcast of Congregation Beth Hashem of Durham, North Carolina. If you have been blessed by this message and this teaching, the sharing here, please leave us an encouraging word. Let us know what you're receiving and how it's a blessing to you. You can email us at office@bethhashem.org. And also you can inquire about our weekly newsletter and other information pertaining to the work that we're doing. To find out more about us, you can visit our website at www.bethhashem.org. That's BETHHASHEM.org. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. And if you would like to go for a deeper dive and to dig deeper in understanding your Hebraic roots, the Hebraic roots of your faith, our college, Zakkai University of Learning, offers courses in Messianic Apologetics and Biblical Jewish Studies. You can view our full course catalog at courses.bethhashem.org. And if you'd like to contribute and make a donation to this ministry, you can do so even on your mobile phone via Cash App. That's www.cash.app/$BethHashem. And that's a way that you can make an easy contribution to this ministry. At this time, we'll go to our After Torah Study Blessing, and that will be followed by the Aaronic Benediction, and then closing prayer by Rabbi. So this time, After Torah Study Blessing, Pastor Doug.
Baruch Ata Yehua Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Natan Lanu Toret Emet, v'chaye olam nata bikokenu. Baruch ata Yehuah noten ha-Torah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, Aryah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set our everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehuah, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, rey del universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad, y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros, se bendiga Yehuah, dador de la Torah.
Amen. At this time, we'll recite the blessing in both Hebrew and in English, coming from Numbers chapter 6, around verse 24 and 25. Yivarechecha Yehuah ve'yishmerecha Ya'er Yafuah panavelecha ichunecha Yista Yehuah panavelecha ve'esem lecha shalom. May Yehuah bless you and keep you. May Yehuah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah, Yahushua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Rabbi, back to you.
Father, right now, in the name of Yahushua, we praise you and glorify you. We magnify you. We embrace the opportunity to mature and grow and be all that you called us to be. We submit our will to you so that the struggle, so that the attacks of the enemy will not cause us to try to do things in our own strength and our own efforts, because that's when we lose, that's when we suffer the most loss and the most pain. But we release and we submit to you and to your way of doing whatever it is that you desire for us to do when the attacks of the enemy are so violent and so abrupt, so diabolical. Father, we know that you promised that there would be a way of escape. You promised that we would be in the Psalms 91 protection, that only with our eyes we would see what happens to our enemies, what happens to those individuals that would line up with the demonic realm and begin to cause havoc upon our lives and upon the lives of our loved ones. So, Father, we just submit that to you right now. Holy Spirit, we thank you for not only your protection, but for your guidance, for your comfort right now. Yeshua, we thank you for your promise. We thank you that your blood applied to every aspect of everything that I ever go through. So we thank you for the release of that in the name of Yeshua. We glorify you, we magnify you, we honor you, and we thank you. And until next broadcast, Shalom Shalom.